Broadcasting live from the Business Radio X studios in Phoenix, Arizona, it's time for Phoenix Business Radio, spotlighting the city's best businesses and the people who lead them.
Hi there, everyone. Welcome to another fun conversation on Culture Crush RX, brought to you by Anahata Marketing. This show is an ongoing exploration of what makes great company culture and how business leaders can help foster happy, productive, healthy teams where everybody is performing at their best. And today, I'm pretty sure is going to be one of my most favorite episodes, but I am joined in studio by Jeremy Lieb, who is the owner of Tribal CrossFit, and Jason Selich, owner of One Tribe Yoga and Wellness. I have a personal connection to both of these businesses because where I get my fitness in. So we're going to talk to you guys about how you build the culture of a fitness center and the communities that you create and how that works out. So I'm going to let both of you introduce yourselves. You can rock, paper, scissors on who's going to go first. But I also always love to start this off with telling us about your very first job. Yeah. Who's up? Who's up?
All right. I guess I'll go. This is Jason Selich.
Yes.
And I'm the owner of One Tribe Yoga and Wellness with my wife, Carrie. Mm-hmm. We're about 4 months new down in South Tempe. We're loving it. So my first job you know, it's a toss up. I mean, my first official job was a paper boy, but I kind of attribute my first job, like I've been an entrepreneur for a long time. I was actually hand making paper airplanes on the school bus and selling them. So I think that was technically my job. I was selling flamed, colored, trick airplanes for 25 cents.
25 cents?
Yeah. In what grade? Back to the bus. I think this was middle school.
Okay.
Yeah.
It was a good business?
You know, it got me a couple of pieces of candy or something. It didn't last forever, and I definitely didn't have a website.
Is that what spurred your intro into website building? You're like, I need a website for this.
I was like, man, I got to get the word out there better somehow. Like, I've already got all the kids on the bus, so now what?
I think you should start a side hustle selling paper airplanes online.
Maybe there's a resurgence in the future.
There could be. Yeah. It could be. Put some good design out there. I think it is.
I don't see a lot of paper airplane on the market.
No.
Not a lot out there.
I think nobody steal this idea.
Go Google it. See if there's anything out there. I don't think there's a lot out there.
There is. All right. So Jeremy, what was your very first job?
So Jeremy Lieb from Tribal CrossFit, and first job was paper out also, actually.
Really?
Then high school, I guess the first official type job was working in the mailroom. So
okay.
Yeah. Sending out letters.
All right. You guys, I thought you were going to give me something a little more exciting than that. I don't know. That's all right. Well, we'll get to the how you got into the fitness businesses. So
we could ask us something like when the first time we got arrested, Deb, if you want to get into, you know, these, better stuff.
Yeah.
First job.
It might be the question.
Yeah. Yeah. We'll get to that.
All right.
Yeah. Maybe that's still coming. Okay. I don't know. All right. So I do want to talk a little bit about, or I think I want to have this whole conversation be about how we create these communities in the gym, in the yoga studio. I think I've shared with you, Jeremy, but part of how I came to Tribal CrossFit was I just kind of wanted to try CrossFit, something I'd never done. I had every intention of checking out like all the different gyms in the area. I drive by at least two other CrossFit gyms to get to the gym every morning. But I went there for a couple months and I was like, you know what? Really like these people. And I don't feel like I want to go somewhere else. And I really loved what I was getting there. So I think you have something unique. Is that something that you think you consciously created in that gym? And from what I hear anyway, I mean, I haven't gone to other CrossFit gyms, but I feel like you do have something that's a little bit different than some of the other gyms.
Yeah, we try to put some focus on the group, on the people, you know, who they are, where they're from, and how we sort of interact and relate together so that we can have a better experience as a whole. You know, we want that hour to be, you know, everybody's favorite hour, right?
Right.
That's your break from everything else. So if it's just a grueling workout, then, you know, you could get that anywhere and you might not keep doing it. But if it's something that's a lot more fun and enjoyable, then that connection's better.
What was it somebody was saying the other day that they stopped going and they were like, I realize I don't really like CrossFit. I like my friends or something.
One of the members moved to the East Coast, and that's what he was saying.
Yeah, he went to a different gym, and he was like, it's not CrossFit I like, it's my friends.
Right. All of which he met at the CrossFit gym.
Right, so, yeah, which is very telling. Yeah, I love that.
Because you trick him into a butt kicking because your friends are there.
Right? Yeah, exactly.
Well, he's going to do it. Don't you want to do it?
Yeah, yeah. Don't act like you don't do the same thing at One Tribe, right?
It's not my turn yet.
So. Yeah, it is your turn. I'm putting it on you. Yeah. So, you guys have a little bit different story because we were talking about this a little bit off air, but you had a little bit of a fan base before you opened the studio. So a different journey to creating that community, and it's young still, but doing well.
Yeah.
So do you have thoughts on, how you guys did that, created that fan base, you and Carrie, kind of had people following you before you opened this studio? So.
Yeah, I've actually been thinking about this because we've been talking to, or I just have some friends in the CrossFit ownership biz too. And there's almost like an advantage with CrossFit because the class is the full hour together and you guys are talking a lot and you're like slapping high fives and there's like a lot of camaraderie going on.
We tell a lot of dad jokes.
Yeah, a lot of dad jokes, whatever you guys do. And in yoga, it's like before class, you've got some time in the lobby, you get inside, you can kind of do some, hang out. But then when the class starts, we have so much focus on like your breath and your body and, your journey mm-hmm. that you're not talking to the people. And so it's actually a little bit of a slower moving ship to build that up, which, can almost maybe work against us. Mm-hmm. If there's a new person coming in and there's 10 people in the room and they all know each other, that's going to be a slower building process because they only have a few minutes putting their shoes on, a few minutes, at the end, right. getting a drink mm-hmm. or something to like get some kind of a connection to go.
That's true.
So it's a little bit of a different, it's a slower moving ship with that. But I think what helps it is the way that our yoga is done in the studio. A lot mm-hmm. of classes are, you're doing your thing and that's, you're going through your postures. But we bring a lot of more intimate moments in the class where we'll get students to hold hands in like really challenging moments. And we'll get these moments where we just get them to kind of burst out and share a few moments of like struggle or relief together. And that helps. And I think that helps us pick the pieces up of like where we miss in, because we don't do it every class. We'll kind of use it every now and again. So it's not like, oh, I don't want to go there because they're always holding hands. But, we'll do it when the moment's right.
Yeah.
We don't want to get the name a little bit off there. But I think the moments when we choose to do it are those times when they're just in a real emotional pushing. It's like when you're climbing the mountain with somebody and you mm-hmm. just get to that area and like it's like the bond gets stronger because your emotions are there, your excitement's there.
Yeah.
Versus just having the downtime if you're just putting your shoes on or something. And people are already checking their phones and it's just you get a little bit mm-hmm. less. Yeah. But when you're in there in the trenches together and then you realize that you're not alone in those trenches, that helps.
Yeah.
So that's what we did at Lifetime. We came into Lifetime where there was a very opposite style of yoga being taught. And we came in with new training and injected this new style that at first lost a lot of people. And then we just stuck to our guns. And then that slowly started building up. And then they really were like, wow, something's going on in there. And I think that was a piece of it. Like the way that we do it, we bring them together and give them those moments together where it kind of touches on CrossFit a little bit, maybe.
It
because
does.
You're like, you're going, you're huffing and puffing and you realize, wow, mm-hmm. we're doing it together. Especially mm-hmm. when you got someone right next to you and you can hear their breath.
Yeah.
We're not your grandma style of yoga.
It like, is not.
Just hanging out, imagining about your chakras or whatever, which are fine.
Yeah.
But we kind of get it real and we keep you guys, in those trenches.
Yeah. That's one of the correlations that I actually love about both of these types of working out. And one thing that for me personally, and I think a lot of people would agree, I have many moments, both on the yoga mat, certainly a lot in the CrossFit gym, because it's something that's new for me, where I show up and like there's a workout and I'm like, I don't know if I'm going to get through this. And then I do something I didn't know I could do. And that's like huge, like the stuff where you're kind of digging through that. And then sometimes I go to yoga because I don't want to talk to anybody, because I just want that like quiet hour to like do my own thing. No one bug me, but it still like pushes you to, I mean, you have not experienced this yoga, Jeremy, but it is like, it's hard. And like, there are moments where you're like, I just want to freaking walk out of this studio right now. I'm hot. I'm tired. My legs hurt. He won't stop talking. I don't want to do plank for 30 more seconds or whatever it is. But like, you push through it and you're like, I'm way stronger than I thought I was. So that's powerful. I think that's kind of the thing that people will take from both styles of this. You take it off the mat, you take it outside of the gym, and it kind of changes your whole day, changes your perspective.
I think that challenge, whatever the challenge is, kind of gives you a chance to succeed. Mm-hmm. And then, there's endorphins that come from that and mm-hmm. physical feelings and emotional, success.
Yeah.
And then that can just, you know, grow into other things.
Absolutely. And even on those days where maybe you didn't feel like you wanted to push, but you see somebody else do something great, you know, and you get to cheer them on, I think that's a big thing that keeps people coming back.
And I think that just group fitness in general like that mm-hmm. has just had such a strong hold on that, because when you're doing it at home, like in the beginning, it's a great workout and you're in sync with the tape or the DVD or whatever. Right. But then like, it's real easy to just drift away and mm-hmm. go mow your lawn. Or,
exactly.
Know, do something. Two rounds is good enough for getting the third round.
Absolutely. Yeah.
Yeah. Who's counting? No, right. No one's looking. The DVD's still going to play.
Yeah. Right. That, and if somebody doesn't show up in the studio for a while, or they don't show up for a workout when you're used to seeing them, when they come back and they're like, you know, everybody's like, where the heck have you been? They're like, people noticed I wasn't here.
Yeah, right.
Maybe I should show up a little more. So I think that keeps people engaged for sure.
Yeah.
So in what ways do you think, you know, like, have you seen examples of people like really taking what they've learned inside and creating something better in their life? Or is that, you know, I mean, I think that's part of why you do it, right? Help people either get over a...
We see it. One of the things that's kind of fun over the years to watch is knowing the same people for a long period of time and seeing their sort of successes and growth. You know, as you do things you didn't think that you could, you build a confidence. And then, you know, we see a lot of people where they've changed jobs, they're moving up in their career, their family's growing, they're, you know, having different relationships and, you know, it all is sort of part of the, package overall, you know, that 5 minutes of, stressful workout over time starts to build into something that's a lot bigger.
Yeah.
And we definitely have seen that. And it's fun to be part of that.
Yeah, absolutely. That's the rewarding thing in what you do, right? I mean, it's a business. You're there to make money too, but you're there to help people get more out of life.
It's nice to be in a business where that's the main goal is, you know, other people's success and happiness ultimately, you mm-hmm. know, where instead of, some sort of a quick service or a sale. It's a long-term adventure and you get to be part of it.
Yeah. Yeah. So let's talk about that, because you have the experience with Tribal's been there for 10 years. You've owned it for 5. You have some folks that have been members for almost that whole time, right?
Yeah, that's right.
Yeah. So in the business of, you know, any sort of fitness industry, any sort of place, like you're looking to cultivate long-term membership, right? So what do you think have been the strategies that have worked for you to keep those long-term members? Is there anything specific that you think you're doing?
Yes, well, please do share.
Jason wants to know.
I think the first one is sort of the obvious one. You have to keep people healthy and uninjured, right?
Which is big in CrossFit. It gets a bad rap for that.
There's a certain line that you want to have results, but not burn everyone or yourself out. So there's that. And then I think that kind of creating that connection where it's more than just, you know, lifting weights, or it's more than just doing some pushups, and it becomes sort of part of your routine, part of your day, part of your friends. You know, most of the members either hang out through nighttime activities that we'll do through the tribe, you know, at our location or out somewhere else, or they get together and they run Ragnar races and mud runs and all kinds of things. And so they see each other and then they, you know, entice each other to come to the next class or come in on Saturday or whatever it is. And so I think that builds a long-term just sort of part of your network.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. I think it's powerful for sure. Do you think, same goes with you and Carrie though, Jason. You guys have had people that have been following you guys for years. I think that for you, I mean, from my personal experience, I think it has to do with you guys actually yourselves connecting with those folks and really kind of building those relationships. And I think we all do foster friendships. I know some of my very best friends are people I met through yoga. That's for sure. So do you think that's something that you guys have actively been doing, or it's just in your nature?
Yeah, I think it's more in our nature.
Yeah.
I think it's what makes it so fun. Like, you know, Kiri and I met a long time ago in Europe, and we used to throw a lot of house parties. And I'm the extrovert of the couple and she's the introvert. And so I would always be out in the you know, living room and just setting things up and making sure the guests are happy and things were going on. And she'd be in the back in the kitchen, making sure everything's being prepared just right. like the product was going to be just right, you know, and then I was outside, presenting and mm-hmm. keeping them entertained and keeping their cups filled and all that. And so we bring this element of that, I think, into the space. And just when we're the two of us are a part of the same program, I mean, mm-hmm. at Lifetime, we didn't own it, but like you could feel that we had this presence in there where yeah. we were both bringing something into the mix. It right. wasn't just like we're both yoga teachers. It was like she brought this level of like knowledge and seriousness. And I would come in with like, I'm going to kick your butt, but I'm going to make you laugh. And we're going to hug each other and then we're going to have a blast.
Right.
And it was just a fun mix where like it just felt family-ish.
Yeah.
And, you know, we don't have kids. And so maybe that was a part of it where we had plenty to just kind of give out there and just were okay with, you know, giving it out and mm-hmm. Willing to, you know, just do what it takes to listen to people and just hang out with them and not have to be rushed off because of other commitments with the kids and the games and the,
yeah.
that I hear a lot of people have to split classes.
That's true.
Quick. Mm-hmm. We didn't have that.
Yeah.
We were like, hey, you're a kid.
Yeah.
What's up?
Yeah.
You got a problem? I got time.
Yeah. Mm,
tell me about it.
Yeah.
No, and part of our training was, you know, hit on a lot of that, like listening skills and, mm-hmm. and making people feel welcome in certain ways that are like almost sneaky, like mm-hmm. just shut up and just let them talk.
Yeah.
And that builds something. Like people are like, wow, that's the first time someone like let me just talk and not mm-hmm. like ask me more questions or whatever. So I think just little doses of that helped to build, you know, whatever it is that we built.
And yeah.
we're just like, wow, this is great. This is working.
Yeah. Well, let's and I think yoga does, it draws sometimes people that it's not even necessarily the physical practice that we're looking for. I think that's where I really fell in love with it was I liked the deeper side of it and kind of getting into that stuff. So when you're, you know, building the studio, building the gym, because I have personal experience with both of these places, like I know the coaches are amazing. And that's a big part of why I stayed. You mentioned that, you know, like you're looking to push people, but never get them hurt. Like I've always felt like there's that true element of caring. Like I want you to go a little bit heavier, but like, okay, don't like rip right. your hamstrings or whatever.
Good.
And you know, when you've hired your instructors, the yoga teachers, like they have to have a certain level of experience. They have to deliver a certain type of class. So what goes into choosing those right people? Because that can make or break it, for
they,
sure.
They can. You know, for us, historically, we've done really well at keeping the same coaches. And when we've added new coaches, they've usually come from within the group. You know, they may have a fitness background already, but they were members first. And so they spent 6 or 12 or 18 or 24 months, you know, in group classes and people know them from class first and then they make that transition. And so they know a lot of the tone, I think, comes from the coach in the room because mm-hmm. all the coaches aren't there all the time. So each class can kind of develop its own feel if there's not that general consistency that just takes time to build. Mm-hmm. So that's, you know, it's one of the things we try to keep all the coaches kind of on the same page about so that mm-hmm. it's not turned into, you know, here's this guy's class and then this, you know, gal's class and they're totally opposite from each other.
Yeah. I mean, there's little things that are different about different coaches that I appreciate, but for the most part, I think it is, at least from what I've experienced, it's very consistent. So, and I mean, half of your teachers, you taught them. So I guess there's
yeah.
some power in that.
Yeah. I mean, I think it sounds like you guys had similar thing. Like if they're already a part of the community, it just helps, you know, we kind of get there, you know, it helps to grow your own teacher, we like to say, mm-hmm. versus trying to pick somebody out who's maybe already got some habit patterns built in of how they deliver a class or treat the students or think of even their position. Mm-hmm. There's, you know, a lot of different yoga schools out there and that ends up becoming like, there's no real defined way to teach somebody yoga. You just right. have to follow some guidelines by the governing body. And then it's whoever's leading it just kind of gets to bring their own personality into that. And then yeah. that can infuse in, which is, you know, normal. That's fine. That's how yoga has really become a piece of the West and how it is. I mean, even though there's all this segregation of like Bikram yoga and Vinyasa yoga, they all come from the same teacher.
Right.
But then they choose to just find what was working for them. And then that's what they taught. And that's how they taught it. And so that's just been diluted further and further. And, you know, the way that we were taught is what we try to bring to those teachers.
Right.
And it's through like almost like life skills, not just like, here's how you want to teach them how to do the pose.
Right.
Here's how you want to make sure that you keep them in the pose. It's like, We get them to peel back their own layers mm-hmm. so that they can bring their true self through, mm-hmm. which just becomes more genuine.
Of course. People are going to connect better with that.
It kind of fits that family vibe that where Carrie and I are just being ourselves. We're not trying to use a certain dialogue or do things, but we have a very definitive foundation, you know, of Ashtanga yoga and meditation mm-hmm. that cultivate a lot of those pieces that will then deliver the class the way that we're intending to deliver the class at One Tribe with that vigor, but the love and the understanding and the listening and all those, this beautiful culmination of things. You can't just tell that to somebody.
Right.
So to get somebody off right. the street who's been teaching for 10 years a certain way at another place, and maybe usually it's a mix of other places because, you know, it's business. And so studio owners are like, hey, you got a following? Get in here and teach. Mm-hmm. Just get butts on the mat. So you hear that a lot in the mm-hmm. studio ownership world. Like, we just got to fill the room. We didn't want to have to do that. We didn't want to have to do that because then you just get, and then you're in the mix with everybody else. Mm-hmm. And that's a competitive world or a competitive, market for yoga. So to keep that brand image, you know, we got to grow our own teachers. Yeah. And we were able to do that at the previous lifetime and be able to bring some of those teachers over without, you know, upsetting too many people, I don't think. but, you know, that's going to be an ongoing process
yeah.
because, you know, we're human beings and things happen. But so we're going to get teacher training programs going and we're going to really rely on that to make sure that we get the quality of teachers in there that, because the length of time that you've been teaching is less important almost than like making sure that you're coming through authentically.
Yeah.
And that you understand what our foundation consists of right. and that you practice that.
Right.
That's the key.
Yeah.
Practicing it.
Yeah. Yeah.
Like you said, I mean, Jeremy, you have people who have been taking the classes and they go through, they've been students there. They've been
right.
CrossFitters. What's the term for that? CrossFitters.
That works.
Clients. Yeah. You know, so they know what's going on and they felt the burn. They felt how it's been mm-hmm. helping them, the breathing and the just, you know, stress release and just the bond that's created in there. So then when they're coaches, they get it.
Yeah.
They're not coming in looking at a piece of paper going, oh, I have to do this and do that and do this and do that. Cause it's just they're going to feel that.
Right.
Well, and that's, you know, that's interesting because we've found a lot of coaches. It's not always the star athlete that makes the best coach. And a lot of that becomes because if you had to work harder to learn it and to get it, you had to spend more time. You had to get more of the parts and pieces and the how it fits together and which muscle is doing what. And then you're better able to convey that to other people. So
that's true.
It's not always, you know, just the all-star that, you know, is the right. face in the room, right?
Yeah. If it came too easy for them, they don't understand the struggle.
Right. That's right.
Yeah. Yeah. That makes sense. So in maintaining, you know, the culture that you've achieved or that you're, you know, you're looking to cultivate within your facilities, obviously there's challenges in that. Let's talk about when somebody doesn't quite fit that. How do you manage that? I know that, you know, you had some growing pains early on with One Tribe. I'm assuming you've probably encountered a little bit of that. You know, those are tough conversations sometimes, but how do you manage those as a business owner?
What was the question?
You avoid it?
Well, no, I just...
I just want to, like, if anybody's listening and they're like, you know, what happens when, you know, your instructor isn't quite up to par or they're not delivering what it is that you, you know, on All right. brand, or they're not, you know, being safe with your athletes or...
So are you more interested in the instructor side or the member side?
No, like as you're... No, as a business owner.
Because it's all part of the community, right?
Absolutely.
And they're both working in, so... You know,
I do want to talk about both actually, because if you ever have members that are like, you know, you're kind of not, you're a bad right. seed in our gym. Like, what do you do with that?
So that is its own thing.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
From the instructor or coach side, they are an employee, you know, of the gym. And so there is a certain amount of requirement for, you know, these are things that you generally need to do. We haven't really ran into where we're like, oh, this, you know, coach is not going to work out. We got to cut the cord. I think partially because we've been so slow in letting someone do any coaching. Mm-hmm. You know, even if they have a big background in coaching or a background in CrossFit or, you know, one of our coaches owned his own gym in the past. And so, you know, they don't just walk in the door and start coaching. We've known them and right. about them for so long that I think right. that's helped us. Not to say we haven't made any little corrections along the way. You know, I usually try to do those one-on-one and myself mm-hmm. at this point because, you know, we have a group that's small enough that supports that so we yeah. can stick together. We'll meet as a group and have some instruction and share and tell and what's working, what's not working in your classes. And so we can kind of all build together. Mm-hmm. So that helps. But sticking everyone kind of is unique, right? So they're going to have their own little nuances. And as long as it's not taking away or causing a problem, it's kind of nice to have a little bit of difference. And that creates for the members a little different experience. You know, hey, I know if I go to this person's class, I'm going to get more of X, Y, and Z versus if I go to that class. And so that creates its own little draws from day to day.
Yeah. And you've been fortunate. It seems like, at least from my perspective, you haven't had a lot of turnover. Like Kirsten's been there for a long time. Tony's been there forever, right?
Tony's been there almost since day one.
Yeah. So if you're not forced to look for new coaches, that helps a lot.
That's a new, challenge. That's right.
Yeah, absolutely. So thoughts on that, Jason, from your perspective, One Tribe, since you're new?
Well, I think we're a little bit more into public shaming when they're not holding up. We'll take them on the parking lot.
He's joking.
No, you know, back to what I was saying earlier, like the way that we were trained, you know, we were trained by Johnny Kest out in Michigan, in Detroit. All of our training's been done there. And he has, you know, he is very granular when it comes to all of his trainings. And one of the biggest pieces of why his community is so strong and his teachers are so strong is that he has a very effective way of doing feedback with them. And it's not just when the feedback is needed, when they, you think the teacher's slipping. It's an ongoing feedback session process where, you know, it's done in such a way where, first of all, everybody's like in agreement that we can do it. And then it's done with, you know, a few things that were working in that class or in that session, and then a few opportunities for growth. So we like to, you know, have some balance with that. So it's not just like we're coming up and going, hey, we need you to do things differently. We want to let them know that, like, you know, we still love you. And like, here's things that are still working. Like you're doing some good things, but then there's a few things that would help, you know, you as a teacher to connect more. It's not really, we try not to make it, and we're new. So I'm actually having our first staff meeting on Sunday where I'm going to kind of introduce this to everybody who's not aware of it and to get them into, the groove of asking each other to take their class.
Yeah.
Hey, give me some feedback after class. I'd love to see where I'm at.
I think it helps that you and Carrie are willing to be part of that as well. You ask for the feedback for yourselves.
Yeah. I mean, you got to lead by example, you know, and it's tough the first few times, but since our training has really like gotten us out of that, you know, has gotten us out of our comfort zone enough with it, we started to appreciate, wow, this really actually helps you like really accelerate your teaching because you can very quickly strip away things that just aren't working that you didn't even realize.
Right.
Because it helps to have someone else, you know, hey man, do you know you said this word a bunch? Or like, you know, you stood in the corner the whole time. If you want to like feel like you're a part of this tribe, you got to come out in the room a little bit. Or, you know, just things like that can really make a big difference on how that class is feeling the teacher's presence. Because we don't model, we don't have mirrors in the studio. So it's almost more important that the teacher is paying attention to like all the students and making themselves available in that sense with their energy, with their presence, the way that you stand or crouch down or, you know, just patterns like that. And we'll even go to the point where we'll, what I've asked everybody to do for this meeting coming up, in fact, to introduce this style is I'm having them all record their own classes that they teach. So I noted them like 2 weeks ago, I said, hey, we're going to have a meeting within that 2 weeks, record one of your classes and then take your own class. Take your whole 60-minute class. Don't just listen to it in the car or laying in bed to listen to your voice and listen how pretty you sound. Like get in the trenches with yourself and go through this class and then take some notes.
That's
and I gave him some little guidelines.
It's good.
You know, I was like, write down some things that were working for you. Write down some things where you know you could have some growth in because everyone's got it. And if you think you don't, then let's talk.
That's your opportunity right there.
Yeah, that's your opportunity because nobody's getting an A.
Yeah. Right.
You know, you're never
going adjustments.
To be, once you think you've hit that and you think you're the best teacher, then you're actually not a good fit for us. Like we want you to be very okay with like there's room for growth still.
Yeah.
And then I ask him to look for some blind spots. Like it's one thing to get even those two things out, but then really look for like a little what we'd call like a nugget of like, wow, I said this word like 57 times in that class. There's a lot of words to choose from. Why did I say that word that many times? And, you know, that'll come from certain areas. And we're not even there to like break down like why these things are happening. But when you have that direct experience and you hear yourself do it, or you just get feedback from somebody who had the direct experience of your tutelage, it really resonates a lot more. And you're like, wow, okay. And it tends to actually work better that way too, where they'll almost automatically strip that word out of their vocabulary because now they just heard themselves say it 57 times.
And they're like, it's one God, thing to that's have annoying.
Them, it's one thing to someone say, hey, dude, you know you said the word patience like a bunch? But then when you hear yourself say it and you get that direct response of your own voice coming back, oh man.
Right.
It's like a game changer. Like the next class they teach, the word won't even come out of their mouth.
Right.
And then they'll dig for more words and that's great.
Yeah.
Like get in there. Like we want the teachers to almost feel a little bit of vulnerability too, because that's going to get more stuff out of the way and they can become a little bit more just natural and deliver that message. We're just channeling stuff. We're not like, I know everything. Here's what you have to do. That's not our style.
Right. Right. I love that.
So feedback.
Yeah. Feedback. It's good. I think that's very important. Is that something that you guys do at Tribal? Do you give each other that opportunity too?
We are, take each other's classes. Mm-hmm. So then you get a chance to be in the room with the other coaches. And then we do like a formal, review. Mm-hmm. We usually like every 90 days is our, at least our goal to do. Mm-hmm. It doesn't always go that way, but continual little adjustments, you know, go a long ways. Mm-hmm. Where if you try to do everything at once, sometimes nothing happens.
Right.
Or you try to do only the big thing, but you don't really identify it, or maybe you get it wrong. Like some action is better than nothing. And then just small course correction, you know, for the most part, is going to bring more and more, you know, good things. Mm-hmm. One of the things that we see in CrossFit is the canvas, so to speak, is so big because we cover so many different, you know, modalities
and
movements and parts and pieces that you could spend countless hours and days in courses and seminars and online and, you know, obviously watching the right places, you know, for information. But there's a ton out there. So that's one of the things, you know, when we find things that we have coaches group, you know, through social media and we share things back and forth. Hey, have you seen this article? Did you, you know, see this checklist? Have you, you know, watched this video? Hey, look at what happens when this guy does that. And look at how this coach operates. You know, some coaches are really amazing at, you know, commanding a room. It doesn't matter how many people are in it. They can control each person and get a response and see progress.
Right.
So, you know, if you watch the ones who are the best at it, then try to pick up how they do it and try to incorporate those things.
Yeah. I think there's an extra challenge in what you guys are doing in that in any given moment during the course of a class, people could be doing like, you know, everybody's kind of almost doing their own thing. And you're trying to watch so many things, make sure people aren't doing something that's going to hurt themselves, at the same time encouraging them. And then everything in CrossFit is for time. So try not to interrupt. I know Tony's done it to me a couple times, like come up in the middle of a workout and been like, you should lift this way. I'm like, shut up.
Yeah. When the clock is running, people are less responsive to feedback. It's better to get that done before, make sure they've got a safe, appropriate weight.
Yeah.
Unless it's a major correction, you know, at the end of the workout, you're going to probably see a lot more. And then, you know, that's one of the things that the coaches all need to do is sort of make those mental notes. So the next time I see you, I know, you know, I noticed that, you know, your hips come up faster than they should, you know, when you deadlift or something like that, right?
Yeah.
And then you can catch that person ahead of time when that comes back and address it right away. And then they can make those corrections.
Yeah. Yeah. I like that. That's good. I want to talk to, we touched on it and I'm curious if you've encountered this, either of you actually, but like, so you're creating that culture, you're creating a membership. I know, especially at One Tribe, there's this whole come as you are, or, you know, Tribe Called Human, everyone is welcome. Sometimes someone's an a-hole. Like, is there ever a time when you're like, you're really not adding value to our gym and you're, you know, you're bringing people down? Like, have you ever had to ask somebody not to be a member? Does that come up?
Yes.
Yes. Yeah.
It's pretty infrequent. We've found over time that normally those people don't stay.
Right.
They don't fit with the rest of the group. They don't. It's just not right for them. Mm-hmm. And so a lot of times, you know, you won't see them for very long, and some will come and go. We have had, I can think of very few. Probably maybe a couple at the most, but where it just wasn't working. And so, you know, management, so to speak, had to get involved and say, you know, this isn't really working. Because if you get someone who is so disruptive or offensive or whatever the issue is that other members are like, I can't take it, I'm leaving, then, you know, you've created a major problem for the whole community if the whole room hates it.
Right.
You're doing a disservice to everyone else.
Right.
So at some point you do have to, you know, our take is usually, you know, let's talk to that person and see if we can make some adjustments first rather than like, hey, you know, you're out of here. You got to go. But if it comes down to that, then that's what we would do.
I can't. I'm so curious. Like, what could they have been doing? I could see harassment being a big issue. But other than that, I'm like, what could they be doing? You're like, get out.
Yeah, I'm sure you could, if you ask the community, you'd probably find out.
Oh, I'm going to ask some questions tomorrow. I'm going to find out about this. Yeah. I don't think it's happened at One Tribe yet, right? And I mean, no, kind of the whole premise is.
I was trying to think of what an a-hole yogi would like, be like. It's almost like
we get to filter it out almost because of showers. By the way, One Tribe has showers. Sometimes you want to be like, do you know what? We have a shower back there.
Yeah. Well, that's where I was going.
Because I'm trying to breathe deep in here.
You're right. But that wouldn't be a personality thing. No. That's like, they just don't realize it yet.
Yeah.
And we have had that. And, you know, odor does become a thing because we're a closed environment.
With heat. Yeah.
And, so that's definitely a factor.
Yeah.
It happens.
Yeah.
There was one that happened where it was a yoga mat situation.
Yeah.
And it was just, you know, she was used to her own smells. So she wasn't aware of it. But she wasn't cleaning her mat.
I know. And I actually heard about it. There was like a few days where we were like, what is it?
Yeah.
Like nobody could figure it out. And like no matter where you went in the room, you're like, why do I still smell it?
So I tried to drop hints that day, in fact, because I remember the moment it started to disrupt. And I was just like, at a point in class, I was like, and everybody showers before yoga, right? You try to make a joke out of it or something. And then,
it never lands on the person it's meant for.
No, though. It never does.
That's correct, Jay. Yeah.
And then, but when it raised a flag, because I was just like, you know, I'll either let the community figure it out and let them know that it's, you know, it's not their fault and they just might not be aware of it. And it'll either work itself out or we'll wait for the moment to maybe intervene. But I stepped it up a notch when I started to see members sort of pointing at the floorboards and like they were maybe indicating like it was something in the room or a part of the build itself. Not somebody, but something.
Yeah, no, it literally, the gossip was like, did a rat die in the wall? Or like, what happened?
Exactly. So when I picked up on that going on versus them understanding that it was like a body, I was like, all right, I got to stop that because that's when the Yelp reviews come in and we're too new to have that kind of a buzz going out there where it's already a factor. And we built our studio for the opposite effect where we can ventilate the entire place by opening up both exterior doors on the building so we can get a nice natural breeze and we got big fans and we can really like get all that funk out in a really quick.
Yeah.
So, you know, we just the next time she came in, it was even a more crowded class. And so we just jumped in and just pulled her mat out and gave her another one and like, use this one for now. And Carrie, you know, my wife had a little talk with her and she did it in a really nice way where it was like, hey, this is just a little too toxic. It wasn't even like maybe that was a part of our brand where it was like, it wasn't like, hey, you smell, you know, watch out for your mat, like and throw labels on it. It was like, hey, this is a thing. And you know, you're just, it helps to wash it. And if it's not washable anymore, then let's just get a new mat.
Yeah.
And problem solved.
Good.
So.
Yeah. Still not, probably not something you thought like, oh, this is, we should be prepared for this conversation,
but
there'll be other things. More stuff will come up.
I'm sure. I'm sure.
Exactly. That's too funny. Have you ever had, has there like ever been like interpersonal issues you've had to interfere with when you're trying to, you know, deal with these cultures of creating your, you know, somebody doesn't like someone else and now you got to field a little grudge or does that stuff ever happen?
We had one because it had already been built up from the previous, from the gyms that we were teaching at. Mm-hmm. And so they both wanted to become members. And one of them would reach out. Actually, they both were kind of reaching out to us on the side, asking about the other member, like, are they going to be there? Because if they are, I gotta, watch out. And we just had to, you know, not choose sides and not get involved and not ask questions and just listen to them, you know, practice our listening skills versus, because there's nothing we really should be doing on that matter because we have no idea what the complexity of it was.
Right.
It just worked itself out.
Yeah.
I think they maybe took a class together and realized that was the time slot to avoid and they just choose different schedules and everything's fine.
Yeah. Yeah. I can imagine that would be the case.
Thankfully, it hasn't happened again.
Yeah. I mean, generally speaking, I don't think that's, you know, most people are more mature than that, I would hope. So
most of the time, you'll hear things, you know, from time to time. And I kind of always stick to the same response for everyone. And I I don't do drama. So
right.
if it's going to be drama, then you can do it somewhere else.
Yeah.
And that's pretty much put a stop to any of that. Like, you know, oh, I only work out with these people, or this is my group, or, you know, so-and-so this, so-and-so that. Like, in general, the community feel that we've tried to build with the coaches and the members is supportive. And so mm-hmm. it kind of weeds out some of that, like, arguing and fighting and ego and some of those other things that can come in. If it's always, you know, push, push, push and try to be first. And, you know, if you drive everything by that, then those attitudes all can start to grow, right?
Yeah.
And then you've got a whole nother animal to contend with,
yeah,
right?
Absolutely. So. Absolutely. I mean, and I think that the vibe of CrossFit is it's friendly competition, right? Like everybody's competing for everything.
It is a yeah. tribal. Yeah. It could yeah. be more in other places, right?
Yeah.
Because if you look at some of the stuff on ESPN, those people do that for big money. And so there's certain things that come with that.
Yeah.
As far as, you know, the professional athlete egos and some of those things, that happens on a local level too, you
yeah.
know. And all those people work out in local gyms somewhere. So,
yeah. Yeah. I mean, I've, from my point of view, it's always been only just friendly competition. I know when I first started going, I never wanted to put like my scores on the board. I'm like, ah, I'm not here for that. And then I bought into it pretty quickly. Like, oh, this is kind of fun.
Yeah, but you're not the only one. Yeah. A lot of people, oh no, I don't know how long it took. So then the coach will just start recording your time for you because they watch. And
yeah.
then you're like, before you know it, you're like, all right, fine, I'll turn it in.
Yeah, yeah, exactly. It's funny though, because I did my first Pilates class. I'd never done like on that reformer thing. As much as I do, like Pilates is a whole nother animal. Holy cow. Like yeah. my sides were so sore. But one of my friends teaches and it was on that reformer. And I'm like, you know, we're doing the things. And she comes over to me. She's like, girl, slow down. She's like, this is not for time. Like, it's so, like, I'm like, she's like, your CrossFit's coming through. I'm just like, she's like, and then she told me to do it slow. And I'm like, oh my God, it's so much harder. And it was so much harder to go slow. But it's interesting how, you know, just the different modalities these things kind of play in. It's funny.
Nice.
So, Jason, have you ever done CrossFit?
You know, I don't think I have. I don't think I have, man.
Better come try.
I gotta give it a try.
I think you need to go do some hot yoga, Jeremy. We need to get Jason in. But you've weight trained before, right?
Yeah, I've weight trained. And I mean, I've done like endurance training. I played competitive. I played football and soccer. And I'm used to getting, you know, thrown around and beat up and,
yeah.
and lifted lots of weights. But I haven't.
That's all.
Yeah. Being taller, it's sometimes some of that, like, you know, freaks me out a little bit. Like,
yeah.
but I'm sure that it sounds like the coaches there are spot on. So, yeah. You know, I'd be under good supervision versus yeah. me just slinging weights around in the gym, because I've gotten that lecture before from, you know, physical or personal trainers I've had. And just his comment in general to people out on the gym floor being like, oh, they're just out there pushing weight around. Like, they don't even know what they're doing. They're not isolating and they're not,
yeah.
you know, paying attention. They're just getting the reps in so they can check it off their list. And
right. Right.
And I was in that group for a while because I would just lift just to get, you know, just to pump up certain areas or whatever. But
yeah.
no, I'm down. I'm down to give it a try. Because I think we're going to try to get into some of these like Tough Mudders that start to come
nice.
Up and build some teams.
Because
mm-hmm. uh-huh. even just here today already, but just in general to build the community, you know, like having those post-class events, something mm-hmm. other than just the yoga classes. Because like I said, we don't have a lot of chances to build community because a lot of the class, you're minding your own business in mm-hmm. there. You're not hanging around in the room and walking to different stations together and, you know, doing all that stuff. So to have something external.
I liked your idea of doing a yoga flash mob. We should organize that.
Yoga flash mob, you know, stuff on top. You know, just groups, just stuff outside mm-hmm. of community where.
I think that's huge.
You know, and these Tough Mudder events come here. There's plenty of events that come here. Mm-hmm. And so I feel like to get ready for those,
right.
I'd probably want to come get a couple months
yeah.
over
at
our tribal
helps.
Friends over here.
Yeah. It helps because then your community becomes your evangelists, right? Because that's the stuff you were saying about like a lot of the crew at tribal like goes and they do all these Tough Mudder things. They post all their pictures. You know, and we all see it, and then their friends see it, and you know, it just that's a really organic way to
yeah.
bring
yeah,
people
no,
in.
I like that a lot.
Yeah, I think that would
almost
be really
every
good.
Vacation has tribal t-shirts in it. I've
yes,
noticed.
That's like, what they've been doing with one
just,
tribe,
they
too.
They run all over the place. So,
yeah. yeah, I love that you guys both have it. This was coincidence for me, not by any means why I am part
oh,
of either
really?
Of these, but
I
tribal
totally
and one tribe. yeah, no. No, it's interesting.
I like it.
Yeah, but we and we
right
were,
down the street too.
Yeah, exactly. But it talks about that. I mean, the tribe is that's the important part, right?
Right.
So that's it's. I mean, great kudos to both of you for picking good names. I guess right. Good stuff. I had another question I was going to bring up. Oh, so I want to know. I mean, I know some of your background, Jason, because we know that you know you've been how long have you been a teacher now? 5 years?
It's just about 5 years now.
About five years. So I want you to share a little bit about your journey to yoga. And I also want to hear, Jeremy, your background about how you got into this. So let's get Jason. Well,
yeah. Well, my wife was originally doing it first. And you know, we met out in France, out in Paris, and she took me to that was technically my first class was out there, and it was a really bizarre class that she even admitted, like, whoa, I didn't think that's what we're going to be doing. But during the class, they had, you know, instructed us to get up and do like a headstand. And like, I just went for it and got up into one. And she was like, you son of a, like, I've been working on that for like 5 years. How did you just pop up into a... And I just had this mentality of like, well, I don't really care if I fall. I've been falling for a long time. Like, so I didn't have any of that fear build up. And then we didn't do yoga for a long time after that. And we moved back to the States. And then she started working at Lifetime. And then really my entry became after that is when I gave up alcohol. I stepped out of this really, you know, destructive, toxic lifestyle. And I had called a friend who was in the program and had asked his advice on like, where do I go? Like, I don't go to church. I don't have kids. Like, help me. Like, how do I, what do I do next? And he was like, man, you kind of have to find your own. He's like, I'll send you the book and you can like go to some meetings, but you got to find your why or your whatever. And I'm glad that he did it like that because it made me have to really dig. And so I went to Carrie's class. I went to a yin class, which is the opposite of what I thought I'd get into because of my active personality. And yin is just very, you're on the ground, sitting in a posture for like 5 minutes. You're just like slouching.
Was it torturous that first time?
You know, I mean, I guess. I don't even
Jeremy
remember.
Jeremy would say yes.
It was like, I mean, I was kind of flexible and active. So I was like, it got some spots. But like, I don't know, emotionally, it was like what I needed at that moment. And I was just doing it once a week. It was just, it was really what I needed. You know, like it got me to stop and slow down and just like listen and breathe and do all these things that I wasn't doing when I was in that previous state. And it lit something up. And then we got a chance to go back to Detroit and do this teacher training with Johnny. And I didn't even know really the yoga poses.
Right. You went right into a 300 hour.
Yeah. I went right into an intensive 21 day training where we were doing like three classes a day that were just butt kicking classes and meditating and reading all these books. And we went vegan. And, you know, you share a lot in teacher training. It's not just yoga and endurance and postures. You break things down. You peel back the layers.
You cry a lot.
You cry a lot. And man, I was crying a lot. And you know, it was just really profound. And like I popped out the other end and I was like, whoa, what was that? And then they handed me a certificate and like, you can go teach now. And I was like, oh man, this is sweet. Let me go do that with other people now. Like this is killer.
Yeah.
And it ended up being a really integral piece to my recovery because then I was helping others.
Yeah.
I wasn't just like diving into meetings and just getting better and not drinking and not doing drugs. I was like, no, I'm out there helping people now too. And that became like, that became my step program, if you will, because I really didn't jive with, I didn't really resonate with the 12-step program or the meetings. And then I actually started teaching at a recovery clinic, which was just like the catalyst with that, where I was 3 or 2 days a week, I was teaching people in recovery, taking them through yoga and meditation. And then it just started blossoming from there. Once I had the training, all these places wanted me to teach there, and I just kept teaching.
I mean, I do think it is something that you needed to do. Like it's very natural for you. So I think that it's interesting how your paths will take you, right? You're exactly where you want to be or need to be, right?
Yeah.
So we always say. So Jeremy, your background, how did you get into CrossFit and becoming, I guess, a coach and an owner? And
I found CrossFit probably like a lot of people in some of the earlier days, so sort of by accident. A friend of mine and I we saw a video on YouTube of people doing this CrossFit, and it was like, wow, that's crazy. Like, how do they do that? And can you imagine, you know, one of those kind of things? We're just watching like big eyes, like, wow. And so we kind of joked about trying it out. And then I ended up finding Tribal was the first place that I went to. And it was like, oh, this is pretty close to my house. I found a place. I'm going to go try it out. And I went in on the first day, like really no idea what, you know, CrossFit was, except I'd seen a couple of videos of people doing workouts and I didn't know how long the time frame was or what all was included or anything else. But I went that first day and the second the clock ended and I had a time on the first workout, I immediately was like, I got to do better than that. Like from day one. And so I started 5 and 6 day a week. attendance like right out of the gate and, mm-hmm. and never really looked back. And after, I didn't really know what I had found, you know, at first. Mm-hmm. And then as I kept doing it and I saw, you know, other members and I saw the coaches and the ownership parts and, you know, I determined, well, I want to coach. And so I need to, you know, I have a background in doing sports and things like that, but, you know, I don't have CrossFit training and I have a degree in construction. So that's not really my, you know, world. Yeah. So I went and did the training and then I started looking more and more into like the business parts and pieces as I kind of saw how it fit together. And I was that same friend that I had first found it with, you know, we were sort of kicking things back and forth and it was like, you know, this might be something that we want to, you know, get into in a bigger position. Mm-hmm. And so we started looking at, you know, what does it take and how would you open your own facility and what would you need and how does that growth take place? And, you know, started kind of understanding a little bit of the business, although admittedly, even with the degree in business management, when I started at Tribal, there were tons of business lessons that I had to learn the hard way along, you know, that I had no idea.
Like every business owner
does that. You're like, oh, wow, I didn't know about that. Or that takes place sort of behind the scenes. And that's kind of, I think, owner development. But from the CrossFit side of things, you know, it's all about helping other people, you know, helping them get into shape, helping them to age better, helping them move better, mm-hmm. create more flexibility, you know, so that they're not just always in a poor position, you know. And so over time, you start to see people walk differently and stand differently and they get up off the floor differently. And you're like, oh, your joints are going to be so much happier,
right.
you know. And so life for that person, even if they stop doing CrossFit, life has been improved, in my opinion, for them, mm-hmm. for the big picture,
mm-hmm.
Which means now they can do more things and they can interact with more people. And, you know, hopefully they've learned some positive connections and happy things, you know, along the way where, yeah. where they can be a positive influence for other people and not just, you know, we started doing that Friday, that Bright Spots post mm-hmm. every week where, you know, hey, tell us what's going right for you in your life and starting to share outside of the gym things because it's really easy to get bogged down and to get beat up, you know, in the business world and the day-to-day life, I think. So mm-hmm. You have to really go out of your way and your comfort zone to create positive moments for everyone.
Mm-hmm.
But I think that has a huge impact.
Yeah, I love that. And I love that you're, you know, thinking about it spreading out into the community, which I know is also a motivation for One Tribe, is really kind of putting all that positive energy out there, right?
Yeah.
Helping everybody do better things. Exactly. Awesome. Well, you guys have been awesome to chat with. I was really excited about this conversation, so I'm glad that we now have it and everybody will be able to listen to it ongoing. They can listen to it as many times as they want.
It's been fun.
Yeah.
Yeah, it's great.
So anybody that's interested in One Tribe, it's onetribe.life.
Correct.
Right?
Mm-hmm.
onetribe.life. And then, Jason, do you do LinkedIn or anything?
No.
Just go to onetribe.life. Facebook, I know you're on there, yeah. active on there. So if anyone's interested in finding out more about One Tribe, and you're at Warner and Rural,
mm-hmm.
right near Tempe Public Market Cafe.
Yeah.
Also offering massage. We didn't even touch on that. Let's give a little blurb about what else is offered at One Tribe.
We didn't even touch on that.
I did.
She's good. Yeah. My wife and I are both licensed therapists.
Mm-hmm.
So one of our big differentiators was to bring not just a sweet yoga studio, but to be able to offer body work mm-hmm. and different modalities for people. So we have
yeah.
two really well insulated and really well decorated, cozy therapy rooms
yes.
to create a very healing environment for those who aren't ready to or don't want to or aren't. Yeah. in the mood to sweat it out, then mm-hmm. we throw them on the table and we have, you know, from Swedish to therapeutic to Thai
cupping.
To stretching, cupping.
Mm-hmm.
We do even a foot massage, a Thai foot massage. Mm-hmm. It's 60 minutes on yeah. just the feet and the lower yeah. leg.
And you can get the membership that includes yoga massage. You got showers. You can make it a day. So
yeah, that was a piece yeah. of the business was like where you can have a membership with yoga and or a membership with the yoga with the massage program
mm-hmm.
or mirror the two together for mm-hmm. even deeper discounts.
Yeah. Yeah. Awesome. And Tribal, what's the website for Tribal? Is it tribalcrossfit.com?
Tribalcrossfit.com. Yeah.
Okay. And Kyrene and Chandler.
Yep.
What is it by? Is that Napa? What's the auto parts place?
Northwest auto corner. Parts? Yeah, I think it's Advanced Auto. It's right there. It's the,
yeah.
So
kind of tucked in there. But yeah, they've got a nice glowing sign now.
Yep, should sign
be able
is good.
To find it. And then do you do LinkedIn or how to, if anybody wants to get in touch with you, so, just go to the website?
Yeah, the website will have all the info. We're on Facebook, Instagram, we're on Twitter. So you'll find, you know, all the hashtag Tribal CrossFit or at Tribal CrossFit. You'll find us all over the place.
Yes.
Posts pretty regularly. So, yeah.
And all these things will be linked when we have the recorded show notes too. So they will be in there. We'll have some pictures. Anything else that you guys want to get out there? Did I miss anything?
No.
No? All right. Well, thank you guys for tuning in to Culture Crush RX. The show is sponsored by Anahata Marketing, and we're very proud to be part of the Phoenix Business Radio X community. And as always, I really hope that you've taken away some valuable insights, some inspiration, and go check these places out. Thank you.